The SCG hopefully will be rocking, surely a crowd of 30,000 plus. I reckon they'll post 28,500. They'll try and nudge that 30,000 mark. The Sydney Roosters get back this sort of player, Luke Keary, Morris, Orbison, Takiyaho. But for South Sydney, they're missing Sam, but they get back George and Tom. How's that balance out? Andrew Webster's the expert. Let's say good morning. Hi, Webby.
Good morning, boys. No, I'm pretty much pumped like everyone else for this game tonight. Should be an interesting one. You're right. I think the most important inclusion for the Roosters is obviously Luke Keary. That said, I know they don't have Sam. I'm expecting George Burgess to definitely start the game. I think it's a lot tighter than the market suggests. And just looking at tab.com.au right now, I like the 8.5 line. I think that's a good bet.
I like the 8.5 line too.
Sorry?
I like the 8.5 line too.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be a lot closer. Like, you know, we all know the hate between the two teams, and I just think it's going to be an arm wrestle. I don't think it's going to be as open as it was in that final round match. It was a weird game last week, and obviously the Roosters didn't have any of those players. But Boyd, you know, I think is a massive in for the Roosters, and you'll see that that left side with Keary sort of light up for them. I think Latrell won't have the same sort of ordinary game that he did the week before, but it has been an interesting week behind the scenes because I've had people from the Roosters camp and I've had people from the South camp needling me to write stories, giving it to each other. So talking about, you know, who's the pride of the league and who's not, about how if it's not for the Roosters and Nick Politis, then, you know, Super League would have been lost, or the ARL would have lost the Super League war. There'd be no South Sydney. So it's funny how all these 100-odd years of history comes up every single time these two play each other.
It certainly does. Did you go and read the Book of Feuds at all?
I didn't read the Book of Feuds. I've
Did they get it out for you? Did you get some quotes out of
it?
Did he have to blow the dust off it when you? Did he blow dust off it and all that type of stuff? Because it gets kept.
I get a candle and I sit there, Stewie, and just, you know, pour over it, looking at all the feuds. I've got enough feuds and hates in my own life.
That's what I mean. You've got your own book. You don't have to worry about anyone else.
I don't need to go into South Sydney.
Hey, just on Bennett, they had a massive form slump in the middle of the year. There was a lot of question marks being asked. And it was justified because they were playing pretty ordinary. Seems to, last couple of weeks, the old man River seems to have turned it around and they've just, a little bit of mojo's turned up again.
You're right. I was at South Running this week and I spoke to a few of the players about, you know, just how Bennett has been. They didn't know what to expect when he arrived there, as he did from the Broncos. And he sort of, you know, his head was very much in Brisbane still all the way up until Christmas. The way that he had left the Broncos, the way he'd sort of been managed out, he was still talking about legal action and, you know, suing the pants off them. But ever since the start of the new year, he's certainly had his head definitely in Redfern. And you could see it. Well, it was important to them when they, remember they lost to the Sharks there at Shark Park, and he just came in and they all sat down. He just went, get in the showers, and that's all he said. And then training a few days later, he laid down the law and said, what do you want from this season? He put it all back on the players, and they say that was a turning point. They lost to the Storm and they lost to the Bulldogs, and everyone wrote them off. But that, internally, they were quite happy with the way they had played in in those games. And as a result, he sort of pretty much got them humming, you know, at this time of the year. So I know, you know, I speak to Andrew Johns now that we're in the Channel 9 stable and he has his column in the Sydney Morning Herald. And he seems to think that South will win comp. So
right.
Then again, Joey did tip the Broncos to win the comp in round one. So take that as you will.
That could still be right.
They could win the comp.
Oh, I think that, you know, I don't think...
No, I don't think it will be, but
I wouldn't be dismissing them, to be perfectly honest.
They're alive.
Because of the coach. You know, they've obviously got some great players. They get Sam back... but, you know, the coach is a specialist at this time of year, as we all know. So he's the ultimate man motivator. But people sort of dismiss him as, you know, having football brains. It was his decision to put Cameron Murray on Joey Manu last week, and that was probably a match-winning positional change, to be perfectly honest. So, you know, he's not done yet, the super coach.
Now, the other story that seems to be breaking in the papers this morning is Madison to leave the Tigers. He's had a falling out re-money and how much he should be or wants to be earning given his status in the team or the game.
Yeah, that's sort of taken all of us by surprise. I think he's on about $350 a year, Ryan Madison, and that he'd definitely be looking for a little bit more than that. He's a shadow player in the New South Wales Origin squad and highly regarded, arguably the Tigers' best this season. You know, I think it caught the Tigers a little bit by surprise. There's talk of a fallout with their coach, Michael Maguire. But given the fact that none of those players that Maguire has pretty much tapped on the shoulder to move on because they want to rejig that squad have decided to go, they're not really budging. So, if I'm someone like Josh Reynolds on 900 a year, I wouldn't be budging either unless I could
take your 900 and be happy.
Yeah. And that's not happening in a hurry. So I would not be surprised if they let Ryan Madison go just for that reason, because they want to free up some salary cap space.
Yeah,
Parramatta seems like the place is going to end up. Mm-hmm.
And that is the world of rugby league. So your best player on 350, you let him go, right? Mm-hmm. A player you're paying $900,000 and you want to get rid of, you keep him, and he's a fringe player. That sums up a rugby league footy club. What about
this? 100% agree. It is absolute madness. Yeah. For mine,
your other three big guns, they're playing reserve grade.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But that's the mess that he inherited, you know, Michael Maguire. And I think he's done well this season. I have to say,
They missed the eight again.
Yeah, I know. But it was his first season there.
I know.
I think they've done. Okay. I didn't expect them to make the eight, to be perfectly honest. But, you know, we'll let judge Michael Maguire in the next year or two.
Would they have made the eight? Would they have finished better with Ivan Cleary?
I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball, Terry. No. What do you think?
Well, I was just thinking about this last night. You know, really, they missed the eight, right? If Ivan Cleary was still there, maybe they still missed the eight. Would Penrith have missed the eight if Ivan Cleary was still at the West Tigers, or if they'd stuck with, obviously...
Which one? Seraldo? Cameron Seraldo?
Well, anybody.
Griffin?
You know?
I don't know.
Well, it's hard.
Bennett? What if they got Bennett?
Bennett?
What if Penrith got Wayne Bennett as, you know, had been agitated by Gus and others there at that club?
Excellent point.
They would have missed the eight, that Penrith team?
No.
It's an interesting one, isn't it?
No, I don't think they
if
would.
If only
have.
If and but, you know what they, you know, they're saying?
What are the stats telling you about the Storm?
Oh, it's funny. In an interview with Cameron Smith during the week, he threw up this stat about how their aggregate losing margin, and they've only had four losses so far this year, their aggregate losing margin is just 8 points, which is quite amazing. And you have to go back to the undefeated Dragons team of 1959 to find better statistics. Now, as soon as I wrote that story, the absolute avalanche of hate mail that I received about Cameron Smith and the Melbourne Storm. I have to say, having covered the Storm ever since their inception, but also, you know, more so in the last few years and through the salary cap scandal and everything around Smith, the level of Storm hate at the moment, I'm going to say, is at an all-time high.
Yep.
Don't worry about South and the Roosters. The Storm hate is through the roof, but that's a remarkable... statistic, given they lost the grand final. Craig Bellamy in the preseason put them through their hardest sort of preseason preparations in camp almost since he arrived at the club in the early 2000s, because there were so many young players in the team. And I think that's evidenced in the way that they've, not only just won the minor premiership, but their defensive record. And you know, when they have lost, one was in Golden Point and the others were very, very close. So, you know, it's a remarkable effort from the Storm. You have to respect them, Storm haters. You have to respect them.
Yeah, and there are Storm haters out there everywhere. Now, PVL, that is Peter Verlandis, takes over as the chairman. There was a big meeting, CEOs and chairman, yesterday at Rugby League Central. You would have had a little listening device in there somewhere, surely?
You don't have to, because there's enough people who leak it. Look, you know, Verlandis, who we all know from Racing New South Wales, and a lot of the listeners will know him from what he's done for the racing industry over many, many years. was appointed as chairman on Monday. It took a little bit of convincing from some of his fellow commissioners, but I have some reservations about him running two major sports. Only in Sydney would that happen. But he does get stuff done. He won't tweet like Peter Beattie. I think at last count, Peter Volandi's had 8 tweets ever since he started his Twitter account. I think Peter Beattie goes 8 tweets per minute. At the meeting between chairman and CEOs yesterday, or sorry, I should say chairs and CEOs yesterday, though, there is a working committee from those club bosses to try and change the constitution. So they're the ones, them and the state, are the ones that decide who goes on the commission, and they decide who will be the chair. So it won't be as it was with Volandi's ascension to the chairmanship, where it was basically decided by Peter Beattie, like John Grant decided that Peter Beattie was going to be his replacement. It's going to be a little bit more equitable. So, there's a bit of change in the way that the game is being governed. But hey, I just think Volandi's will be strong.
They've agreed to that? No.
That's what the clubs, they formed a committee. They formed a committee.
Yep. This is what happened 2 years ago when John Grant was there as well, and the commission and the constitution didn't change.
No, I thought they were a committee, actually. Thanks, Webby.
Good on you, boys.
See you, Webby.